My guest at this time is retired U.S. Air Force General Tom McInerney. He's also a Fox News military analyst. He has been a guest of ours many times over the years, particularly throughout the war on terror and the war in Iraq. And we want to get his thoughts as we enter really what amount to be about the final couple of weeks here in the Iraq war. And also we want to get his thoughts on the situation with the downed drone in Iran. And General, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Greg.
Let's start with Iraq. The president entertaining Nouri al-Maliki at the White House on Monday, saying that things look to be on schedule. There's only about 5,000 U.S. troops left in Iraq, and they'll be home by the end of the year. He talked about ending the war. He talked about Iraq on a path to sovereignty and security. How optimistic are you that that is where we are?
Well, I think it's going to turn out to be a major strategic blunder. The 31st of December, you're going to start seeing IRGC and Basji forces from Iran transiting Iraq into Syria to help Bashar Assad and also to create problems for Israel. So I think this is going to prove to be a major failure by the administration. I'm very pessimistic on it.
What would have been a smarter policy?
I think a smarter policy would have been to keep 20,000 troops there. And what they should not have done was insisted that the parliament vote on it. They should have done just what George Bush did, come to agreements with the government. By the way, the status of forces agreements in other countries are not approved by the parliaments. They're approved by the administration that's in power. And yet this administration insisted that the parliament do it. In other words, they raised the bar too high. We could have kept 20 troops there if the president would have gotten personally involved like George W. Bush did.
General, some have said that at whatever point we leave, Iraq will have to stand on its own and provide its own security, deal with the possible influence of Iran on a grand scale. So what difference does it make, they say, whether it happens now or a couple of years from now? What do you tell them?
Well, what I tell them is a couple of years from now, we'll have a much better feel on the ability of the Iraqis to do it on their own. I'm just very uncomfortable right now with President al-Maliki, and I do not trust him. And I think he's in the pocket of the Iranians. And so I think it's very worrisome what's going on there. I think a token residual force of 20,000, could have even been 10,000, would have sent the signal that the United States is still involved there and involved with Iraq. With such a precarious position going on right now between the Iranians and the Israelis, I do not think we want to destabilize the region.
In terms of our armed forces, obviously you believe about 20,000 should be remaining there, but when you look at the hundreds of thousands of troops that have been there over the past almost nine years, what comes to mind about their service and their sacrifice over that time?
They have done an extraordinary job. They did more than anybody could have asked them, and we should be extremely proud of them. I just can't say enough of the sacrifice they made and of the 4,475 that were killed in action and the over 1 million military and civilians that participated in that campaign. They should get great tribute from the American people.
General, some have criticized the president during his appearance on Monday for not saying whether or not we won. He just said that the war was coming to an end. In your estimation, did we win, or do the same doubts you mentioned a minute ago make that still a question mark?
Oh, I think we've won. The danger is he may snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. And the drawdown to go down to 20,000 people, or even 10,000, as I said, I think would have ensured more stability over that time frame. Yes, we did achieve victory there. The question is, what will it be like 2 or 3 years from now?
Moving on to Iran now, sir, in a different way from its influence on Iraq, and that, of course, is the situation with this drone that has recently crashed in Iran. We know that the drone program has ramped up over time. It was influential and instrumental in detailing Osama bin Laden's hideout in Pakistan, and, of course, it's been doing reconnaissance over Iran, and now it has crashed. There had been calls for the president to order it destroyed before it could be picked up and inspected and perhaps some sort of national intelligence secrets gained from it. what is the danger of being, what is in danger of being found as a result of this, and what do you think the president should have done if it was something different than he did do?
Well, first of all, Greg, it did not crash. It landed. You've seen the pictures of it. It landed intact, which meant probably the Russians and Chinese, more likely the Chinese, helped the Iranians to locate that stealthy airplane and to bring it down. Next, they got valuable stealth technology, they got valuable sensor information, and they got a command and control system. This is a huge intelligence coup by the Iranians, Russians, and Chinese.
What should the president have done differently there?
We should have destroyed the airplane, sent aircraft in and destroyed it. It's 145 miles inside Iran, but we should have gone in and destroyed it. It's a lot harder to analyze smithereens, i.e. blown to smithereens, than it is a pull-up round.
The president at that same press conference yesterday said that so far his administration had asked for it back. Is that insufficient in your mind?
Please, please. I mean, that is absolutely ridiculous. They're just going to laugh at us.
How quickly could they turn this around? How quickly could they put this technology into use for themselves, whether it's the Chinese, the Russians, or the Iranians?
Well, in the command and control, they can do it right away. For the stealth technology, it's going to save them 5 to 10 years of investment. For the sensor technology, it's going to save them probably another 5 or 7 years. So they're going to have all these things working on their behalf.
Just about a minute left in our conversation with retired Air Force General Tom McInerney. And, sir, on a more lighthearted note, but also a very important note, you are involved in helping to promote and make as much of a success as possible the upcoming Military Bowl, which is part of the college football bowl season. Tell our listeners more about that and why it's important to get behind it.
Well, there's going to be the Military Bowl on the 28th of December in the afternoon at RFK Stadium. I encourage all our listeners to get tickets and go out there and watch it. It's the third year in a row that the Military Bowl, who is hosted by Northrop Grumman, but it's all for the USO and our troops. So I encourage everybody to try to attend. If they can't attend, listen to it on ESPN. It'll be a great bowl game.
And it's Air Force versus Toledo. I'm guessing you're leaning towards Air Force.
Just a little bit, Greg. Just a little bit.
Very good, sir. Thank you for your time, as always. Good luck with the bowl game, and Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you and your listeners. God bless.
God bless you, sir. Retired U.S. Air Force General Tom McInerney. He's a Fox News military analyst. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.